message he called the message of transfiguration. We're not sure what mountain they were on. Some think it was Hebron because that was taller. There's another mountain that they built a church on, and they are basically, there's a church there, and they use it for tourists. They say the reason they put it there was a lot of people didn't go to that side of Galilee, so when you go, there's kind of like a tourist trap. Doesn't really matter, does it? Jesus was talking to the disciples before. He said, remember, as we went through the process, they gave up their careers. Fishermen. They were doing quite well, and they really did well with Jesus. And they gave that up to follow him. He warned them there'd be a cost. There's going to be suffering. Before we get to this part, he tells them that they will suffer for his name's sake. It wasn't going to be all glorious. Have you ever talked about being a Christian, anybody? Before, maybe you heard about Christ. You heard that, oh, you need Jesus because you need love. You'll find love. You'll have joy. You'll have peace. Some will even preach prosperity. And what's rarely told to you is that when you stand for him in this world, you will suffer. And he knows that and told the disciples that. But he said, in your lifetime, some of you will get to see the kingdom of God. Many of the disciples at that time believed that they actually would see Jesus have crucified and then return. And that's kind of how a lot of them lived. And nearly all of them, if you study their lives, were martyred for their faith. John's one of the only ones that we know that lived probably into his 90s, but he was exiled from everybody. He was on the Isle of Patmos. Others had horrific deaths because they stood for Jesus. Something happens. It's interesting when it happens. It happens as Jesus is doing what? Praying. Good. You can get your bulletin. You can cheat. You can read. Praying. Prayer changes people. Prayer gives us that closeness, communion with God. Our challenge this week and in our lives is to take and carve out a piece of your time and just pray. You ever done that? I've done that, and guess what happened? I was like the disciples. I fell asleep. You ever done that? Sometimes I'll be thinking about something for a long time or praying or whatever, and I find myself later on just restful, peaceful, and fall asleep. It's interesting because when you read about the disciples all the time on different prayer times, what happens to them? They're found sleeping. Jesus goes up to the garden to pray. He takes the disciples with him. He comes back and finds them sleeping. He says, hold on. I'm going to go back up there. I'm going to pray again. Comes back. They're sleeping again. An hour goes by, Jesus comes back, and he said, can't you stay awake for just an hour? And finds them sleeping. Here, they were sound asleep. They were tired. And they fell asleep. It's okay. They fell asleep. And then they woke up, and something happened. Beyond any of their expectation, they saw something they couldn't explain. They dare not explain it later because nobody would believe what they saw. And they saw Jesus in his glory. It says he metamorphosized. He changed. His face changed. His appearance changed. Guess what's going to happen when you go to heaven? You're going to change. I might have hair. And you wonder what we're going to be looking like. Apparently, somehow we'll recognize each other, but we'll change. You don't want to be 100 years old in heaven, in a sense, do you? You know, I won't be around 20s or whatever, right? Who knows? But there was a change. We wear white today, but guess what? It was whiter than our white. Said it was like lightning. You ever seen lightning? Can't stay in it very long, can you? Pretty bright. And I don't know how they knew the other two people, but it was revealed to them. It wasn't like they had their iPhone, they could look at the pictures. Okay, who's that one? They found out supernaturally. It was a supernatural thing. They saw who? Moses and Elijah. Now, I don't know. You can look in coordinates, look in Bible studies. They say in Revelation, when it talks about the two people that will be coming as prophets, the messengers, they know pretty much nearly everybody will agree to Elisha as one of them. The other one could be Moses, could be Enoch. It depends on who you study. And they'll be going around to proclaim in Revelation, if you read it, about God. Now, it's interesting that it's Moses and Elisha. You have any reason why? In Jewish history, it basically, they are representative of what? The Old Testament, right? We read a little bit about Moses, right? Moses represents the law. Because we remember the Ten Commandments, right? So in Jewish history, and in fulfillment of the prophecy of fulfilling the law 100%, who did that? Jesus. Then Elijah comes on and he represents the prophets. The prophets would prophesy of the Messiah to come. Who met all those prophecy requirements? Jesus did. So that's why we have what we have from those two people. It's a little bit for the Jewish people and for us today to know that it all ties in. We nearly are near the end when they see this, because all of a sudden Peter reacts, well, let's build some shelters, tabernacles. Let's get people to come and see them, right? He didn't know what he was saying. He lost the point of what it was. And then all of a sudden, they're fully awake after doing all this, and a cloud comes. And like most people, they got what? Afraid, frightened. Many times, we get frightened when we see things. And a voice came, and it said what? This is my beloved son. If you had any question about fulfillment of the Old Testament, if you had any question of who you're following, this is my son. And the theme has been consistent for weeks now as we've met. From the time of the miracle of the water turned into wine, Mary said, do what he says. Peter said when he was going fishing, we've done this, we know this, but I will do as you say or ask. And God himself says, is my beloved son. Hear him. And the message for us has always been, hear him. Hear what God has to say to you today. Follow him. Learn of him. And then they left in what? Oh. Nothing else to say. When you leave here today, your experience with Christ ought to be in awe. How can he save a man or woman like me? We were talking about denominations earlier today, and we talked about wonderful thing about the Lutheran faith is we stress God's grace. Look at ourselves. Do we deserve what we get? It's by His grace that He loved us so much. We should be in awe. What should we do? Listen to Him. And do that today. And this week, carve out a time. Try to stay awake and pray. And prayer will change your countenance. It will change who you are. Amen.